Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donney, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here and to talk about the things that are on our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts, open us up to your word, and allow us to become wiser and better prepared. We love you in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, welcome back. We have a subject today that is pressing on our hearts. It has to do with suffering, sometimes judgment, the things that happen in this world that we can't explain, but what are things that we can do to be prepared, but also to not be judgmental. And so I wanted to pass this over to Kevin. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing well, Joseph and Laura. Hope you guys are doing well.
Yes.
We don't like to date our podcast by giving specifics of different things happening economically, politically, and all that, because we want our podcast to stand the test of time and be applicable no matter when a person listens to it. But in the United States, we just had the tragedy of the Guadalupe River killing a lot of children who were going to summer camps, and a lot of adults and the camp coaches and leaders and counselors and so on. So it's breaking our national heart. And it really, and there's tragedies going on around the world from earthquakes. I mean, just unbelievable earthquakes and volcanoes spewing and the heat waves in Europe and fires that are burning up a lot of land in Spain, so to speak. So we can, the California fires that happened last year and so on. But, you know, we see a world that's reeking in tragedy. And so what do we do with that? Does it shake our faith? Can we still trust God? And then oftentimes Christians are even judged during these times. Well, they were servants of God. Why did God allow them to die? And there's a great deal of confusion, both secularly, but also within the church. And so what do we do with this? How do we look at this? And so on. And we will cover in Luke 13 where Christ even gives this whole idea, this whole confusion treatment, because there were some natural disasters in their time, or man-made disasters kind of thing, or things that kill people. And he was trying to draw a contrast. So we'll talk about those things. But our heart breaks for those children and those families. And let's talk about it, because honestly, we all go through tragedy. That's the human condition. So how do we maintain a right attitude? How do we look at this thing the right way? And just as an antidote, I was talking to a couple in a hospital one time, and I think the lady was having a tough time with her pregnancy, and they were just enumerating one. They called it bad luck. I don't honestly believe in luck, but like it's just total luck. But they were talking about bad luck, and they were giving me a litany of all the things bad that's happened to them, and their car blew up on them or something, and they stopped and said, "We wonder what God's telling us." And I'm always, I love throwing a monkey wrench into things when I'm talking to people to try to get them to look on the other side, because God sometimes doesn't have anything to do with it. And then I told him, God ain't trying to tell you nothing. You forgot to change the oil. And so just to get them to look at it in a different kind of way. And so, you know, the natural disasters, of course, God is in total control, but he may not have as much to do with it as we think. Our breaking his creative laws and basically raping the earth and using all the resources and polluting our skies and our waters. Who knows? We don't have the science to figure out the cumulative effect of all this. And so I just want the audience and us to be careful. God may not, and he's not a hands-off God. He's definitely intricately involved in our lives, but a lot of this stuff we're wreaking ourselves.
Wow, that's such a great segue for what I'm thinking about, which is when we remember God's original intention, it was to create man in his own image and likeness to have dominion in all of the earth. And I'll touch on that, I guess, in a few moments, but yes, We who have been given, and we're talking to those who have put their faith and trust in Christ, right? The Bible says that they have been given authority, the authority that Adam lost. Now, why is that important? Because there is so much that what the Bible calls the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, have the authority and responsibility to do, which is to pray over its territory. And if every listener will check their own heart, we will find that we are all, beginning with myself, not praying over the territory assigned to us by God as we should. So there is something to be said about first remembering our truest identity and remembering that we have authority to pray over the territory, especially assigned to us. But also because we are God's representatives in the earth, we do get to pray for other territories. But I want to go to Romans 8:20. I want to say to the listener, the biggest desire of Kevin's, Joseph's, and my heart is to bring you truth, but to support it with the word of God. We don't care about our opinions, right? What we care about is our opinion backed up and filtered by the scriptures. And so listen to what Romans 8:20 says. It says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one," who's God, "who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." Now, listen to this, listener. We know that the whole creation that suffers earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, has been groaning as if in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. What we're saying to the listener is the whole world is groaning. Jesus predicted that these things would happen. He said that you will hear rumors of war and you will see many troubling things. He says, but the end has not yet come. So we want to first just comfort the heart of the listener and say, this is not a strange thing. There's nothing new under the sun. There's always been tragedy. There will always be tragedy as until Christ rules and reigns from the new heaven and the new earth, okay? What we want to do is we want to inspire you to do one of two things. Put your hope in God even greater than it is right now. And number two, especially, do not judge what you don't understand, because the three of us are very bothered in the spirit because we hear a lot of people saying things like, well, it's God's judgment against them for blank. I know if it's California, of course, it's because, you know, God's judging them for this law and that law, right? But if it's another state, it's that God's judging them for this and that. And it just so does not reveal the Father's heart. And so what we want to communicate as we go deeper into the subject is God's heart is that all would be saved. The church's responsibility right now is to be the ambassadors for God, saying, be reconciled to God. And lastly, before I throw it, you know, back to Joseph, is it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Now, I'm not saying that we don't get sobered by a discipline of the Lord, but Hebrews is very clear that in this present state, God's not limited, but I just want to say, in this present state, according to Hebrews, the ones that God disciplines are the born again ones. And Jesus asked a question, if your child asked you for a loaf of bread, would you give them a stone? Would you give them a scorpion? And he's like, of course you wouldn't. Why would God give his beloved children horrible things? Now, I didn't say troubles. I didn't say sorrows. Why would he give a horrible thing to his children that he dearly loves so much that he gave his son? And you wouldn't even give that to your child. So if you wouldn't run over your child's leg to break it, to teach him a lesson about not putting his bike away, okay, how evil, please let us be careful how we highlight God, especially in times of tragedy. Joseph, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have a mind that wants to make sense of things, right? If our mind sees something happen, there has to be a cause and effect. We think, oh, they did this, so this happened to them. When we know that we live in a world where people can be going, driving down the road, they're going to work, they're doing fine, and then somebody else makes the choice to get drunk and then go head on into them. You know, I know personal tragedies where, you know, I went to church and there was a pastor at that church that was coming back from the beach on his motorcycle with a friend, and the lady crossed over the median and killed both of them. And we can say, why did this happen? Why would God allow this thing to happen? And it's not that God's allowing it to happen, but he gave us free choice. He gave us the choice to do right. He also gave us the choice to do wrong. But going back to what Laura was saying about, you know, creation, is that this wasn't the plan for God that God had. But because sin entered the world became cursed. And in that curse, we have all sorts of problems. There's a book of the Bible that focuses on these types of tragedies. It's called the Book of Job. And in it, Job was doing everything he was supposed to be doing. And there's a conversation between God and Satan. And Satan said, oh, he's only good because he is healthy, wealthy, and wise. If you take them away, if you take all that away from him, he's going to curse you. God said, okay, go ahead and do it. Just don't take his life. And so, you know, we think, why would God allow that? Well, number one, we're not God. And number two, why not? Who are we? Who am I that I should not suffer? And when we look at the course of human history, we see nothing but suffering. Who am I? So, you know, the things that we think are very important. Is our thoughts on God's word? Do we understand? Do we perceive those things? There are the big things. Speaking of California, I was born and raised in California, and I've been in earthquakes. I remember the 89 Loma Prieta earthquake that rocked the World Series, and there was a lot of death and destruction. We also, you know, went through floods, and thankfully it wasn't our primary home, but one of our homes was flooded. Having to clean up after a flood is not fun. I was a senior in high school, and so I understand what that's like. But we have this thought that nothing bad's going to happen. And so we become complacent. And then when something happens, we go, why? Why, God? Why would you allow this to happen to me? And it doesn't have to be on a national scale. It could be very local. Your house catches on fire. There's a death in the family. You know, your car can break down. And so we want to be able to kind of walk through and remove some of the things that we may have in our thought process, because we could be blaming God for something that naturally occurs. And we think that because God did not save us from that, that maybe one, he doesn't love us, or two, he doesn't exist. And we want to say that's not the case. So there is going to be suffering. There, you know, the Bible says there will be suffering. Jesus said that. We can't get away from suffering. The question is, are we prepared for it? Are we prepared for the suffering? Are we prepared for the things to happen? And along with the judgment, we need to be very careful on how we judge. You know, people will say, well, the Bible says not to judge. Yes and no. You know, you'd be foolish not to judge. But what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 was, don't be a hypocrite when you judge. You need to judge. You know, we can't walk through life without judging. But we have to be very careful on what we do and what we say.
Now, what we're trying to do here, we're not trying to come up with knowledge from the Bible to try to comfort people's hearts, because when people experience tragedy, and there's a thousand ways they can do that, experience tragedy, probably more, their hearts still hurt. They may know God, they may know the scriptures well, they may have a replete faith and so on, but the heart still hurts. So we're not trying to give you some plausible explanation out of scripture to heal your heart. The healing part comes from another process, the proper grief process with God and the Holy Spirit, Christ, and so on. So we're not trying to give you knowledge of the scriptures to stamp on you in some legalistic way to heal your hearts. That's another process in itself. This hurts. This is painful, and it's not what God intended. He subjected the creation in hope. He knew that he would restore that creation. He knew he would restore everything when Christ is ruling it in his kingdom in the fullest sense of the word, even though he's ruling in a lot of people's hearts right now. So God didn't just throw it away. He knew that Christ would redeem it later on, but it still hurts. It still bothers us. And so what do we do with that? And so on. And I'd like to point out the scripture. And by the way, Joseph, thank you for using the Job scripture. That also indicates, as you pointed out, that Satan can cause a lot of this stuff. We don't know to what extent he has influence over nature, over tragedies, whether it's of our own time and chance, you know, accidents or mistakes sometimes in judgments or people running lights or any number of things with accidents. I'm not saying he's causing that, but the Bible does indicate that he causes a lot of things. So what about the hurricanes? What about, who knows? We don't have the wisdom nor the expertise to determine to what proportion he has control over those things. But nonetheless, that knowledge is not going to heal our hearts and heal our how painful it is. But we need to also examine a scripture in Luke 13, 4 and 5. And Jesus is speaking to a crowd when he brings up a tower's collapse. And as I alluded to in the beginning of the introduction, and he basically asked if those killed were worse sinners than others in Jerusalem. You know, so he was trying to illustrate the need for repentance and to challenge the idea that suffering is always the result of sin. Some of these tragedies that we enumerated in the beginning of this podcast necessarily wasn't because of those people's sins. We don't, like Laura says, we don't know all the ins and outs. We can't judge that. So who knows? We just know we live in a fallen world and things are not the way God intended. And he doesn't. What if we were as parents? I was just thinking, Joseph, as you were talking, Laura, you and I are parents and we have children. And so if we protected our children from every bad decision or from every bad attitude or didn't let them have their own individuality, then we would be creating robots and probably spoil disasters. And so I'm not saying that's the explanation that's going to heal your hearts, but who knows? God allows us to make decisions. For example, we're all in the South Carolina area, in the coastal area, we're always, during our hurricanes, the houses are falling in. That's because we want to build the houses right on top of the darn beaches. If we were listening to the American natives a couple hundred years ago, we would have backed up about 200 yards and the sand dunes would have rebuilt themselves every time the waves broke. Or I hate to say this, I don't have any knowledge of this, but the Guadalupe River and other rivers like it. Well, unless, instead of us being greedy and wanting to build structures 2 foot away from or 10 foot away from the water, why don't we back it up 100 foot, make sure we're 30 foot above any 200 year floodplain? Why don't we have to? I mean, so the greed has something to do with this too, where we're not using good old fashioned wisdom when it comes to some of this. And I know parents who have lost their children in some of these flooding will may be a little ticked off by me saying these things. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody. It's just that I know that man's decision sometimes contribute to this stuff. You know, it's not all God's fault. And he's not creating robots. He gives us the freedom to make idiotic decisions.
Yeah, it's when we forget principles and laws, you know, it's like you said, it's not to bring condemnation. It's to awaken us to say, am I following wisdom, right? I've never failed to be amazed as I'm traveling on a turnpike and I see traffic backed up for sometimes miles upon miles upon miles. They're just dead stopped, right? And it grieves my heart because oftentimes, though not always, it's because a person made a wrong decision. Whether it was to speed, whether it was to text and drive, who can say? I'm just supporting what we're saying is we need to pay attention to what we're doing because our choices affect others, sometimes thousands. I've said to my husband while we're on the road, somebody's missing a wedding. Somebody's going to miss their plane because everybody on the highway is going somewhere to get something done. And one person's decision or a multitude of people's decisions has now affected thousands. And we're saying it's a great opportunity for us to lean in and ask the Lord, am I walking out wisdom? Am I living out principles? It's like, you know, gravity's a principle. It doesn't matter how much faith you have, right? It's going to work for you or work against you, you know? And so it's both and, right? It's both that this is a prophetic teaching from the Bible that these things will happen and therefore don't judge, you know, unfairly and evilly these people. And it's that some of the things that are happening in our world require us to look at ourselves and say, how can we make it different? Because you can't undo the tragedy, but everybody knows that every tragedy holds within it the ability to do something different. And that's going to be completely malleable for every situation, every person, right? Because the Holy Spirit deals with us personally. And so everybody might walk away with something different, but a city might walk away with a better understanding of how to protect its people. And so again, we're not blaming anybody, but we're saying, let's lean in with curiosity and say, what can I do? What can we as a city do that this would never happen again? We think about California with the wildfires and there's no water in the water hydrants. Okay, that's a tragedy, right? And there's nothing that can be done about it. And being angry, even righteously angry, doesn't change the fact. But what it can do is it can provoke those that have authority and those who are under the authority of a political party to demand change so that it doesn't repeat itself. Because that's the problem, is that what Kevin's referring to is that there are all these signs that there are some things that can be repeated. And what we want to do is interrupt. Number one, we want to interrupt the pattern of just shrugging our shoulders and saying, well, there, you know, it's an act of God, right? It's all God's fault. Number two, right? We want you, the listener, to be very, very careful in your heart to keep God on the throne. And I say that because we as worshipers, right, we were created to worship. So worshiping is a completely natural response. The problem is, what are we worshiping, right? And so let's just keep God on the throne, trusting that his mercy is good. And, you know, gentlemen, I went through Category 5 hurricane called Hurricane Andrew. And there's been so many equally or even worse disasters since then, but I know personally what it is to live through a disaster. And I want to remind the listener that you always will see the hand of God in every disaster. Why? Because God will work through people. God may not have authored that situation, but you can be sure that he is there through the many hands and feet. Doesn't matter if you call them the National Guard, doesn't matter if you call it the next door neighbor, right? You will see the mercy of God set up. Why? Because God's a rescuer. Nothing's changed. The question is, are we making ourselves available, even if it's through prayer, true prayer, genuine prayer, of thanking God for making himself evident? Because, gentlemen, I already had faith before Hurricane Andrew. Can I tell you that my faith grew 100-fold because I saw God do what I would call supernatural things on our behalf? In other words, he made provision for things that only he knew I had prayed for. And number two, that wasn't available for 30 square miles. But God can do the impossible. So when you hear about disasters, listener, lean in with a curious heart of how, Lord, can I pray for these people? But also praise the Lord that he will reveal his mercy, his goodness to them in the midst, because for some, it might be the only time they've ever lifted up their eyes to heaven and called upon the Lord. And gentlemen, we know that anyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be rescued. Mm-hmm. And so we don't delight in tragedy, but we say tragedy can actually be the doorway through which many lives can be saved.
Absolutely. Perspective is a big thing. And, you know, there's with perspective, you know, if you're outside of the disaster, you think, okay, wow, that's tragic. When you're inside of the disaster, it's you have a totally different perspective. But one of the things that, you know, sometimes we don't do is we don't think of resources. Now, resources don't have to be tangible physical things. You have mental resources, emotional resources. You know, what would happen if I went through that disaster? How would I feel? How would I look at God? What would my emotions be? And so sometimes what we have to do is prepare ourselves. Most people are unprepared for anything. Most people, and I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, you have the macro scale, which is global, right? Which it would be the wider community. You know, there you have resources there to help, but sometimes those resources are wiped out. You know, we look at North Carolina, and a lot of the resources that they had were wiped out, and so you can be prepared and still not be able to handle the disaster. The micro level, your personal level, most people are unprepared. They're not prepared for the emotional toll. They're not prepared for the physical or financial toll. And so what do? We have to then prepare ourselves. We can only prepare ourselves for what we can. Most of our trust is going to be in God, that we're going to be taken care of, whether it goes the way we want it to or not. And so those mental, emotional, spiritual preparedness, the resources that we have is, you know, prayer. It's understanding. It's saying, Lord, whatever happens, I trust you. I'm following you. But then what are the small things that we can do? So just last week, I was driving home from a lunch with a friend of mine, and I looked at my gauge cluster on my vehicle and saw that the oil was down to low. I mean, it was, if it couldn't go any further, it'd be going backwards. And I was like, oh no, that's not good. And so I was like, okay, I need to find a place to pull over. And, you know, I found a safe place to pull over. Opened up the hood, pulled the dipstick out, looked, oh, I've got oil. I don't know if I have pressure. And so I had two choices to make. I can risk it and drive it to the shop, or I could call a tow truck. Now, thankfully, I had learned my lesson and I had roadside assistance. And I had to wait 2 hours for the tow truck to get there. But for me, that was a better scenario than having to buy a new engine for my car. And so it ended up that the cluster gauge failed. You know, I had the sensor replaced. They checked it. It works fine. But I was only out $150, and that was better than buying a new engine. I was prepared for that. I was in a place where not only I was safe, but I could get my vehicle to the shop. But just this last Sunday, we had somebody at our church who couldn't get their car started. And so I had one of the other pastors come to me, "Hey, do you have any jumper cables?" I'm like, "I do, but I also have a jump pack." So I said, I'll go and help them. So I went over there. It cranked over fine. It just wouldn't run. I was like, it's not a battery issue. There's something else. If it's not battery, it's probably fuel. So I told him, I said, you need to get a tow. He lived 45 minutes away. He didn't have roadside assistance. And I said, what are you going to do? You know, what's your plan? He didn't have a plan. And, you know, it's a Sunday. Nobody's working on Sunday. There's no shops that are open. So he had to get a tow truck, and the tow truck had to take him. Somebody had to actually drive him all the way to his house, and then going on from there. But, you know, if you're prepared, you're most of the time you're just inconvenienced. If you're unprepared, it's like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. You can't handle the stress. You're trying to, you know, you're trying to figure out, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. And so, you know, we have to be prepared. We need people in our lives to say, hey, what's your plan? What are you doing? I tell most people, if you want to ride the wave of a economic downturn, don't have any debt. Because the less debt you have, the better off you'll be, the less stressed you'll be. But what do? Oh, I need the boat. I need the new car. I need a new car because it has a warranty. And you're like, that's dumb. And I'm sorry if I'm offending you, but you know, having a car payment because you need a warranty it's not smart. Having a paid off vehicle and having cash in the bank to be able to pay for the repairs is smart. But what we do is we look for ways to be prepared without actually being prepared. And then we have to argue with the shop saying, no, that's covered under warranty. And they say, oh, no, it's not. And next thing you know, you have a car payment and you're paying for the repairs. And I see that a lot. So on the micro level, we have to think of all the different things that can happen. Are we going to be prepared for everything? No. But if you're not prepared for anything, then everything is going to affect you and you're going to feel like your life is upside down. Join us next week for part two of Can We Trust God During Tragedy? Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.